Coming up on the Mascot Wedding Show, comedian Michael Folk is in studio. We talk about comic books for a very long time. We also talk about who would be on Canada's Mount Rushmore. And we also talk about a lot of really, really gross stuff that parents shouldn't be allowed to listen to. All this and more coming up on the Mascot Wedding Show. Hey, everybody, it's the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is episode 263, The Divorcee's Sexy.
But the Cowboys Won't Come Home.
That's right. A classic episode in the making. Turn that music down too much. Yep. This is our third podcast of the Mascot Wedding Return.
Yes.
As of right now, none of the other podcasts have been posted.
Yeah.
So I can just assume that they're a smash hit.
You guys love them?
Oh my God, so much.
Later on the show, we'll answer emails we've made up.
That would be good. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mac Blake?
I'm doing all right.
Man, all right.
Can instantly... Oh, the fan's not on, that's why. Oh, I don't know if you guys just heard that beer open. That's because we have a very special in-studio guest today.
A beer-drinking guest.
Yeah. I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, kind of a busy day, but got a lot done. But I got a lot of, like, dumb stuff done where you're like, oh, I worked on the script for a short film I might make. And then you're like, yeah, I got a ton done. Didn't any of that pay? Oh, no, sir. I picked up a Superman poster from a store that I had ordered, crossing off that to-do list.
But it feels good because those are things you want to do, like, and they all pile up where it's just like, oh man, I had the best day today. I finally organized my pantry. It's like, that means nothing to nobody else, but it means the world to you.
I do feel like I'm going to be like in an old folks home one day or just on the street and like have a to-do list and be like, wow, so much to do. But it'll all be like, collect garbage, clean self.
Make a list.
Go to that unguarded hose outside of a convenience store and just drink till I'm full.
Pull copper.
Exactly. Fake death. Fake death. Hey, you want to introduce our special in-studio guest?
Sure. He's the host of many things around town, including Greetings from Queer Mountain.
That's right. This is a monthly showcase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, the podcast Faggot Spaceship. Sorry, Dad.
I don't know. Is your dad mad?
I don't. He's always mad. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a comedian around town. You can see him very often at the New Movement Theater and many other stages around town. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Folk.
Hey.
Ooh. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Why don't you get a tad closer to that microphone?
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, I can adjust.
We'll tell you when you're out of order.
Oh, so. I just got on the film I just got done doing. They constantly would stop takes and be like, "Michael, can you be a little quieter?" Like on a film, and I was like, "Okay, so I'm screaming right now."
Yeah,
and they were like, "Can you? But scream quieter." And I don't really know what that is.
That's right. Actor as well.
That is true.
You're in the film Zero Charisma.
Briefly.
Mm-hmm. Which just... Well, in that case, get the fuck out. was just picked up by Nerdist Industries.
Mm-hmm. In Tribeca Films.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Okay, cool.
But apparently it's a good thing.
I bet it is.
I imagine.
Did you have a speaking part?
Yes.
Well, there you go. You get
real mean.
I remember seeing you... I have not seen the film, but I saw you in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like... Zero charisma, right, guys, or something?
I do say that. No, I think my trailer line is, Miles, you never told me you had a nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
We'll post this trailer above the video. Maybe just a vine of that. Look at me referencing technology.
Hey, all right. Well, probably moving into the new age.
Yes.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
This is fun.
It is fun. We're recording live from the... Hodge Studios?
Yes.
Hodgecast Studios?
The Hodge Pound.
I'm going to
try to make that one stick.
Hodge Pound?
Yeah.
Hodge Pound? Okay. This is my first time being here, but I'm already going to say yes, that's what it's called.
Cool.
Yeah.
Finally, I win something.
Yes.
So, are you from Austin, my man?
Yeah, more or less. I was born in Kentucky, and then my parents split up automatically. I always say I like to consider it being my fault. And I got bounced around between Kentucky, Kansas, and Texas, and then I grew up in Austin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. How long have you been in Austin?
A long time. I think
Long time.
Not long enough to lose that Korean accent.
Well, that was just naturally how I said it. So maybe there's background I don't know about.
Sure.
Yeah, like 24 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Like a long time. I grew up here.
Yeah.
A long time. Yeah. I'm going to keep saying it that way.
So you're not one of those you're not one of those carpetbaggers who just came here and like started telling people to leave.
One of my favorite things, my favorite least favorite things about Austin is whenever people are like, "Ugh, I don't want anyone else to move here," or like, "Oh, get out of here." I'm like, "You've been here like for 2 years, dude.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
do you mean? Like, what? Who? When was the cutoff?"
Yeah, your best friend is from Nebraska. Why don't you just let them all come in?
Well, there's your answer. The cutoff is like as soon as I moved here. That was the last time Austin was good.
Uh-huh.
You know, like
that was the last one.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to like this wave of people who like will acknowledge, "Oh, I came here after it was cool." Like there's there's like this wave of people who are like, "Man, I came here, Austin didn't live up to the hype, and now I'm leaving." Like, "Fuck you, Austin." It's like, "Okay, cool. Thanks for your input."
I like that better than like Austin used to be cool and like sort of being sad about it instead of being like, you know, like, "Oh, I moved here after it was cool," and then like, "Oh, well," driving to work, being all sad.
Yeah, there's something about like trying it and not liking it instead of just blindly not liking it or blindly making excuses for it. Like, I'm okay with that, but people seem to have a real burr in their saddle about it.
Well, a really repugnant thing on the internet is just pretty much every BuzzFeed article. Like, everything that BuzzFeed ever puts out is just like a whole bunch of just like someone being like, "Oh, this is what's not cool now," or "This is what's cool now." And there was a big rash of like reasons why Austin's overrated, or like top 20 most overrated cities, and Austin just fell in the crosshairs this year.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what does any of this mean? Like, just someone is writing this article and being like, "Oh, I'm mad about it."
Yeah,
like,
and BuzzFeed isn't like a local blog. Like, people everywhere read this. Like, if someone was in Boise, Idaho, like, who cares what BuzzFeed thinks of Austin? Like, it drives me crazy.
Well, you know what's funny is former Austinite, Blue She Moves, Summer Ann Burton.
Yes.
Is a writer for BuzzFeed. And she's responsible for like a couple articles about like cool things and about Texas or Texas summers or Austin summers or something like that. And I kind of, and I mean the season, not the person. And I kind of, when I read these, I'm like, does anyone outside of Austin care about this?
Right.
Because there was a list of like cool things to do in Texas during the summer or things to remember. And there was like a King of the Hill gif, and it was like, "Hey, drink a Shiner Ruby Red beer, or Deep Betty Ruby Red vodka, or buy some Fredericksburg peaches, or go to Marfa or something."
Yeah.
And I think people outside of this are just like, "Well, let me see. Here's 1 through 30 of who cares?"
Yeah.
But I was sitting there and I was like, "You know, proudly stand up," just like saluting every one of them.
But it's like this weird.
I'm a dumb Texan.
It's like this weird positive trolling where it's like, "Guys, I'm trying to let everybody know that Austin's great," and meanwhile, you're just making everyone hate Austin.
I just have a weird thing with like blog stuff in general. Like, one of my least favorite ones was the introvert extrovert stuff.
Yes.
That's been recently. Yeah. There was an article that was about like how to successfully approach an introvert, and I was like, "This is so much shit."
That's
like, I'll approach an introvert however I want, and then they'll deal with it and react however they want.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a dog. Like, don't make eye contact.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's how it was. It was like they're like, "Oh, well, an introvert, like, they expend so much energy just interacting with people, and they have to recharge. And an extrovert gets energy from interacting with people, so you have to know who you are. And then also, like, know that you're sucking energy out of an introvert whenever you talk to them." And I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't give a shit.
I don't. I'm sorry.
You figure it out. If this person is cool to you, then you'll make friends with them. If not, then not.
Or also, like, yeah, it's just like, or move your body. If you don't want to talk to me, move your body. Walk
you know
away.
What? The only solution for you is write one of those BuzzFeed not quite articles. Listicle, is that what we decided the other day?
A rebus.
Has this come up recently?
No,
I was talking about it with somebody. Like, it was like, I've it's a list combined with GIFs or GIFs.
Yeah,
and so I'm not necessarily when I call that an article.
No, it's a it's a photo essay.
Or like,
say, photos you haven't taken.
It'd be top 20 reasons. Get the fuck away from me, scum.
No, I was actually just thinking about this. I've been thinking about it all week because, like, I couldn't give a fuck about BuzzFeed. So, like, none of those articles came on my radar. But I was just seeing people reacting to those articles and just all caps, like, "Nobody cares about introverts or extroverts." And I was like, what happened? Is there, like, a war going on that I'm not paying attention to? So it finally came on my radar. And it's like, oh, who cares, guys? Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just those things that get shared a lot whenever I feel like people are just like, oh, I got to put this on Facebook. I got to put this on Twitter. And it shows up a lot. And then I have this problem with, like, at 1:30 in the morning if I can't sleep and I'm just watching Sword Art Online again because I watch a lot of anime when I can't sleep. I'm just like, oh, I better read these shitty articles. And that's what I do. And then I get mad and I'm like, well, this isn't helping me sleep.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what BuzzFeed is for, is just kind of like a, you know, it's a time waster in a way. And so that one that I posted, just because I was like, you know what, BuzzFeed, you win. And it was like, top 20 things that are just the worst.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, when your roller chair at work, like, rolls over your headphone cords, or when your zipper comes off, you know, like, stuff like that. You know, like, we're like, oh, yeah, well, that is the worst.
Extra relatable shitty things.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think when I posted it, I was like, this is funny. And then somebody was like, well, I don't know. I think the Holocaust should have been on there. And I was like... Or it's when people start, like, picking apart, like, the BuzzFeed articles, like, intensely. It's like, hey, man, thanks for picking apart that BuzzFeed article. Also, have fun dying alone.
Yeah.
You unlovable shrew.
I don't know. I don't know. I think the Holocaust should have been on there on everything.
Yeah, I think the Holocaust was worse than cold meatloaf, maybe.
Yeah, they, like, show, like, a loose leaf piece of paper with every hole is torn, and you're like, God, that is the worst. And then it's like, then the Shoah. Oh, yeah, the Hebrew word for Holocaust. Yeah,
that's right.
Pretty bad. Hitler.
Boo.
It sounds like, it's like a Norm Macdonald joke at that point. Yeah, that's pretty bad. You know, it's bad. Hitler.
Yeah, that's pretty good Norm.
Pretty good Norm. Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Good Norm. Solid Norm.
Maybe he'll visit the show later.
I was working. Oh, I don't. Guys, don't be surprised if the lead singer of Cypress Hill stops by the show one day.
Be real.
Be real, yeah.
Okay.
I've been in touch with Be Real.
Okay.
Your name, Michael, you spell it in a non-traditional way. The E and the A are reversed.
Yeah.
Is that, what is the, I'm just out of curiosity, what's the origin of that? I mean, it's like...
Have we not talked about this? My mom...
If the answer is just like, it's my name, asshole, fuck off. That is perfectly
yeah, exactly.
Valid
I don't,
answer.
I don't really know, for real, the lore is that... my dad wanted to name me Michael, and my mom, they were in the process of, like, you know, learning to hate each other. And my mom was like, nah, that name's too common.
Nah.
And yeah, nah, dog. My mom, Janice Volk, nah, dog, that
be
name's
real,
too
there.
Common.
What
yeah.
are you doing here?
Hit that bong. Gotta go.
Yeah, she decided that name was too common, and she was like, nah, we're going to mix it up. And that was their compromise, was switching the vowels. I don't know if that's 100% true, but I feel like that's what was told to me at one point in time. But it never stopped any teacher in grade school from commenting on it or correcting my name every time I wrote it down.
Oh, I absolutely bet.
I had my name. I still to this day have my name crossed out or like fixed on like important documents or like whenever I'm getting my like license renewed, they're like, oh, you messed up, dude. And I'm like, what do you mean?
You didn't spell your own name right that you've had all your life. Yeah.
Well, then you probably shouldn't give me the fucking license, I guess. Like,
my actual first name is McLean.
Is
and
it?
And my last name is Blake. And so I get Blake McLean. That's what they think my name is all the time. And yeah, it's like, oh, silly me. No, it's actually, imagine that I knew my name that I've had all my life. But no, you were right to assume that I fucked it up.
I can't believe you don't go by McLean.
Well, we screwed up.
Well, Die Hard's not as popular as it was.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if someone, that's like a cowboy name or like a...
McLean Blake Cowboy? I don't know.
I'm just saying like, hey, I'm McLean. It just, it's like a...
Oh, there's no way he's pulling off McLean. No offense to you.
No.
But there's no way you're pulling off McLean.
I don't know. You're very tall. You can pull off McLean. I feel like height is a big matter in names.
I feel like I've dumbed down my name to Mac to the point where it represents how I've dumbed down my life. So I feel like, hey, look at that big dumb Mac over there. It was a big idiot. It kind of works.
I feel like we need like a slide whistle every time you say something like self-deprecating.
We can get that. I think, do we have a, I don't want to dig for it.
I'm on it.
Should we have, let's start this debate.
Okay,
we gotta
yes.
Talk, we should probably we talk about it off air. Off air? Off cast.
Off power button.
Off power button. Should we have a soundboard for the show?
I wouldn't hate it.
We'll tell you what, next episode, sorry, Michael. Yeah. Next episode, we will fucking load up a soundboard and give it a try.
Tell us what you think. Email us or hit us back on Twitter.
mascotwedding at gmail.com, at mascotwedding on Twitter.
Fun thing to do. You sort of went into the Casey Kasem there a little bit.
Yeah. There's a, oh, he might visit us.
My favorite thing when I listen to Casey Kasem is when he'd be like, hey, coming up, this next starlet likes doing her own grocery shopping. Her name? Madonna. And here she is at number two with music. Music.
I did love his personal interest story. Yeah. It's like, Jane Child came from Kentucky. Kentucky's on the brain now. I don't know.
Casey, I'm a big fan. I'm currently serving two to life. If you could play Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli, my girlfriend would wet up so hard. Well, Jonathan. Well, T-Shiv.
Michael, we haven't heard your Casey Kasem yet. We've all
I don't
gone
know
off.
If I have a Casey Kasem.
It's not as hard as you think it is.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's a
will.
Well,
here we go.
We're going to give it to you.
Yeah, I think you win the case off.
Yeah, I don't know. I think David is the best.
I spent a lot of years listening to Top 40 Radio.
It was weird because he did the voice of
Shaggy and Robin.
Yeah, Robin. I remember hearing because Rob, like Shaggy, was him. You know,
wait, like Shaggy from Scooby Doo.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, from it wasn't me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was wondering if he was Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Every time he would play a Shaggy song, he would just rap live over the track.
He had to leave the studio because it was a conflict of interest.
You don't remember that time in the 90s whenever Casey Kasem did blackface?
He did it for the whole decade.
And here. We at number five is Shaggy with Wasn't Me. DJ, play it. He was Shaggy, but Shaggy was his impression, like, you know, Scoob. But like Robin was just his voice.
Yeah.
And so I remember watching I think Batman and Robin meet Scooby Doo or something.
Or like Super Friends.
Yeah. And then like Robin would talk and I'd be like, wait, what? I know that voice. Weird.
Yeah, so if Robin would just toke it a little bit, he'd be a lot like Shaggy.
Who's your you're into comics, right, Mac?
Yes.
Who's your favorite Robin? Let's alienate everybody that might listen to this.
Favorite Robin.
I'm gonna check my text.
Well, I don't know if I have a favorite Robin. I guess I was partial to the most recent one, Damian Wayne, who just spoiler alert, died.
He Jesus. Did die.
Huh? Yeah.
How did he die?
He was killed by some. I haven't read the comic yet.
Okay.
It was unceremonious. It was just sort of like a matter of fact kind of thing. I think that was what was supposed to be like more heartbreaking about it.
You know who my favorite Robin is? Tim Drake, Robin 3. There you go. That's my answer.
Yeah, Tim Drake is. I feel like Tim Drake is probably the best Robin, but Dick Grayson's a more interesting character.
Is that your Robin pick?
What?
Who's your favorite Robin?
I think Tim Drake is the best Robin in being Robin, but Dick Grayson is just a really cool character. Like, as he went from, like, Robin to Nightwing to being Batman for a little while.
I feel like if I was trying to, like, drop the nerd gauntlet, I would have been like, how about Carrie Kelly? The Robin from Batman The Dark Knight Returns? The alternate universe? Then bullets would hopefully murder me.
Actually, this current Robin, the Damon Wayans, is this in a universe where they're just killing off Robins, or is this like a separate universe where he is the first Robin?
No, regular universe. It's
the only Robin that got killed officially before that was Jason Todd, and then he came back later as Red Hood.
That bitch came back. You know Marianne Cotillard?
Yes.
Her character in Dark Knight Rises is in the comic books, Talia al Ghul.
Right.
And even though I think Batman and her did F on the reg, I think it was a clone or something like that.
No, they fucked.
It was okay.
Yeah, I like.
Well, no, I mean, but the baby. Yeah. But Damian Wayne wasn't he like raised in a vat though or something?
Yeah, like I think that it was like he was like taken out of her or like something. Like,
something, man.
Like they were like, yeah, let's speed this shit up.
It just clicked to me that his last name is Wayne, and I was like, oh, yeah, like Bruce Wayne.
Well, yeah. It's written by Grant Morrison, that awesome Scottish writer who also like is just fucking insane.
Yeah, did All-Star Superman.
Yeah, he also
there you are. You don't need to check your text.
No, he got me hip to that and I really liked it.
Well, that dude is like he claims to have been taken up by aliens and stuff and he's like a
Morrison does?
Yeah. He's weird. Like he's kind of like a rock star. Like, you know, if you can write comic books and be a rock star, which you probably can't because you think you have to play rock music in order to be that.
You're kind of like a 16-year-old girl right there. Where you're just like, I'm a rock star. Yeah, like soccer.
Well, unless you're Neil Gaiman.
And the way you were like you, sorry. In the way Dennis Rodman was kind of like a rock star, that kind of like...
Of course, yeah.
Where he's a writer, but he also has like this outlandish persona.
It's more, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, Alan Moore is sort of like that.
Alan Moore can go screw.
Oh.
No.
That fucking old man.
But I mean, like, everything that he's ever written, people have like universally liked. Like, he's never really like made a misstep. He's kind of a prick, but he's never really made like a poor judgment call on as far as like being a comic book writer.
Yeah, everything he's done has been the best of that thing where like people will be like, oh my god, Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing, and you're like, really, do I have to go read Swamp Thing because of this?
It's guy? So good.
Is it really?
Yeah, Alan Moore's like run on Swamp Thing is so good. There's a weird part of it where Abby Arcane eats like a legume or like some kind of like weird growth off of Swamp Thing's body.
Gross.
And then like has like a weird like sex fantasia where like she's like making love with like life itself. It's real weird. Like she's like naked and like rolling around in like these weird giant panels of like space and like vegetation, and like she's experiencing like the beginning of like life itself, and it's like, whoa, Alan Moore.
Yeah.
Whoa, you are not repressed at all. Like you're putting it all out there.
Man, he must have hated those goddamn 15-year-olds who were reading that at the time, like in the '80s.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
cool, 7-Eleven. Cool, a Swamp Thing comic. What?
He thought he was blowing their minds. He was like, I'm going to take you on new worlds. And it was like, when's he going to hit something?
He doesn't hit a lot of things. There's a lot of
weird... Because he's made of swamp.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I guess we can all agree, fuck that guy. Now, what were we talking about?
Did you get like in a personal fight with Alan Moore or something?
No, it's just that dude... he's just turned into like a crotchety old guy, and he's definitely had some beef. Mm-hmm. But he has zero problem commenting on things he hasn't read.
It strikes me that for a guy who works in comics, he sure does hate comics.
Well, here's the thing. People keep going to him about quotes for like comic book stuff, and he's like he doesn't pay attention to that shit.
Right.
It's like if you were asking a retired musician about like, hey man, what do you think about Skrillex or something like that? Not that Skrillex is good and that that's not a straight, you know, like, Skrillex equals today's comics.
You don't have to walk this one back. Yeah, okay. We know where you're going.
All right, thank you. But it's like when they ask Stan Lee about, oh man. So there was this Marvel story. Sorry for the heavy comic book talk.
I nerded this place out real fast.
It happens at least once every 2 months.
Well, this is all mainstream people, non comic book readers, don't turn it off.
Hey, podcast listeners, we're going to go into nerd territory for a second.
Sometime after the X-Men movie, Marvel realized that their comic book line was pretty much, if you haven't been reading it for the past 15 years or 5 years or whatever, it's not new reader friendly.
It's inaccessible, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And so they gave the reins to these two guys, one of which was an artist, and the other was this guy who worked in like sports marketing and stuff. He was like very much like a PR guy.
What?
And so what?
Sports marketing is an actual thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so his name was Bill James.
Okay.
James. Anyway, and so he would try and have all these like comics and stuff that were just like controversy for the sake of controversy. So he took like this old Western character that no one gave a shit about, Rawhide Kid, and he's like, Rawhide Kid's gay. He was gay the whole time, and people like, it's like, you know, my reaction was like, all right. Like, but then mainstream media, like CNN was like, a comic book character featuring a gay? Is this kid going to read this? Like, first of all, comics aren't sold in like 7-Elevens anymore. Also, right. This one was like a Max line, which was like a mature readers thing. And also, shut up. Mm-hmm. And then they brought on Stan Lee to comment on it. And I was like, first of all, hey, this shouldn't even need a comment. Shame on you, CNN. But also, like, Stanley had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but they brought in, like, some weirdo, too, was like, Batman's been screwing Robin this whole time. And so I remember the end of the interview, Stanley's like, I don't what? Huh? I'm an old man. Leave me alone. And they're like, all right, we got to go. Final thoughts. Stanley, is Robin gay? And he's like, what? And Stanley was like, I don't know. And they're like, all right, you heard it here first. By the way, back to Wolf Blitzer or something like that.
You heard it here first. Stanley, no idea. He doesn't know.
The leaps they were taking in between, like, questions, it was like an SNL McLaughlin group sketch or something like that. Anyway, comics are dumb. No, they're not. They're the best.
Yay. No, I love comics. This is the dumbest thing in the world. I'd never have time for comics because, like, they're just cranking them out. Like, as I speak right now, there are several books that I should be reading, and there will be several more books next week and more on top of that. And so it's just like, all right, that's not something I can do right now. I can't go into that world.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a weird black hole, mm-hmm. a little bit. Like, it's a great black hole, and it's like fun to be in, but it is like, well, it's a huge money suck.
Yeah.
I think that
it
I have
a huge money suck,
and I've already got gambling, so why would I do comic books?
Yeah, but it gets in the way of my online poker. I kind of Casey Kasem there a little bit.
See,
I finally did it. I didn't want the pressure. I liked it a lot. I joke around about the idea that, like, being into comics made coming out easier. But it kind of did in a way, weird way, just because it was something that me and my mom, when I got into comics, my mom was great about being a single mother in the sense that whatever I got into, she figured out a way to get into as well, mm-hmm. so that I wouldn't be just that lonely, like, weird kid. Mm. So, like going to, like, comic book conventions and doing comic book stuff with my mom a lot, I feel like made it a lot easier to be like, these dudes are hot, mom. These big, beefy dudes, super hot. So they have like a special weird place in my fractured gay soul.
What if I was like North Star, mom? Oh, you have flight ability? No.
My mom would probably be like, yeah, you're not as much of a faggot as North Star.
Wow. Tell your mom to watch your mouth.
No son of mine's Canadian.
Yeah. Boom.
No, you can be Canadian Wolverine. Wolverine officially made it okay.
That's right. Even though in the movies, they dropped that real quick.
So what's on Canada's Mount Rushmore? Now, Wolverine.
As far as I can tell.
It's Wolverine, Neil Young, and two others.
Okay. The question is, what's on Canada's Mount Rushmore according to Americans?
Yes.
And it's Wolverine, Neil Young, I believe.
Like a maple tree?
Wayne Gretzky, probably.
John Candy.
And John Candy?
Yeah.
Boom, there it is.
Oh, we got it.
How hard is that, guys?
Done. Super easy.
How come we couldn't figure out Austin's Mount Rushmore?
Well, I mean, Gosling. I mean,
Gosling's Canadian?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that might be.
I don't know. Is he known for being Canadian, though? Do other people know it, or was I the only one who didn't know?
I didn't know.
Do weather people? Other people. They said, do weather people know it?
Does the weather underground?
We've got a high pressure Gosling coming in right now.
Right.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He's super Canadian.
Gross.
Super Canadian.
Yeah.
He's from like Winnipeg.
I actually don't know exactly where he's from. I do know because I have that issue with reading Wikipedia articles too much, I trust them. That's him and Rachel McAdams from The Notebook were both
Canadian. Yeah.
And they grew up together, and then they ended up doing that movie together, and they were like, well, we made out in this movie. Let's be a couple for a couple years.
Yeah. Oh, what a hard decision to make. Hey, you're one of the most attractive people in the world. So are you. Do you want to just put genitals together?
I don't know. What will people say?
The scandal involved.
The only time I've ever seen The Notebook is when Austin's movie-mocking maestros, if you like alliteration, Master Pancake did it. And I was sitting there watching The Notebook in the theater, and everybody made fun of it. But there's that scene where they both get naked in front of each other, that they like stand like 10 feet apart and take off their clothes. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, man, because when was Notebook time-wise? Was that pre-World War II, after World War II?
It was during World War II.
I thought it was after.
Well, because Kevin Connolly dies during World War II, his best friend. Yeah, I saw it.
I know you know you, but you know it.
Well, no, because
you know it.
Because that was actually, of all the things that drive me crazy about that movie, that's one of those things where it's just like, okay, you're trying to encapsulate the lives of these two people, but they're just blowing over like a ton of details that would add emotional depth. And one of those was like, oh yeah, and my best friend died in World War II. Anyway, like, so that's one of the things that sticks out in my head.
So it took place back then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when they got naked in front of each other, I just was thinking, man, their bushes must be huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think they hadn't invented grooming.
No.
Yard work.
They just made bigger swimsuits.
They totally invented that.
Were dudes shaving their pubes back then? I don't think Gosling's character was.
Well, I mean,
I don't think she was either.
There was a point, well, way, way back before that, there was like the invention of the Merkin where people had to shave all their pubes off because of like parasites.
Yeah.
And so they wore pubic hair for fashion.
Here's the thing, though. A French maison derrière. This is like two farm kids.
See, but that's the inverse of
French ass.
That's the inverse of the discussion, though, because whores were shaving, and so they wore the merkins so as not to suspect that they were whores.
What did everybody not wear merkins?
I feel no. Like- Because I mean, like Gosling was probably doing like military trimming, like to keep his
it was a crew cut, like it was like a high and tight like, above his cock
to keep his bush off of like razor wire.
You know what? She was wearing,
but other than that,
I got that she high was, and tight baby.
She was wearing a swimsuit, and it wasn't like busting out the sides.
Yeah, there was no so buffalo probably, underwear going
okay,
on.
Okay, she probably was trimming. We'll be right back. Actually, let us take a break.
Yeah.
Let us be right back.
We'll be back with more Mascot Wedding Show after this. Of course, you don't fucking care because it's a podcast.
We're back with the Mascot Wedding Show. You know that. That's going to take some getting used
mascot
to.
Ready. Mascot Wedding Show.
Oh, I thought you said Mascot Reading.
Yeah.
I did it first, yeah. And that's why it was a blue note. I wanted to keep going.
We're doing the AMA on the Mascot Reddit.
Yeah, damn it. I was going to make that joke.
Trust me, it wasn't beneficial to be first to market on that one.
Yep. So Michael Folk, our special in-studio guest.
Mm-hmm.
So, buddy... This is summertime in Austin, which I find that summer, more than other seasons, is the time when aspiring comedians say, fuck it to this town and get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Do you have any aspirations or plans to go to the big city instead of this dusty old tumbleweed choked gas station small tent with the roadrunners?
Keep going.
And there's only one horse and it's dumb because it doesn't read and it's racist.
Yeah.
And where streets are barbecue stained and choked with beer and beards town?
No. Well, I mean, there's other places that I would... It's weird. I grew up here, so it feels like I'm supposed to leave, but there's also not a shit ton of reasons. Like, I get work here, and I get to do what I like to do, and I can afford to live here. I, like, totally support people whenever they're leaving and, like, going to L.A. or Chicago or New York. I'm like, yeah, do it. But I feel like at least 75% of the time... when people are going sort of on a whim a little bit or without like a, I know this is exactly, this is waiting for me.
Yeah.
It's a huge bummer. And so I have no desire to like headbutt into a bummer.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that it's a bummer?
Well, if.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but just to clarify.
Normally people get to the other city and they're talking about like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I feel like a lot of the time you just don't end up doing it because it gets really hard or you're just so, so broke from living in like New York or LA and trying to get around that you don't get to pull off the things that you want to try to do. And like people I've met and doing like the tiny, tiny bit of film stuff I've done or talking about their friends that are also there. They're like, oh, we're in Austin and we work more than we ever did when we were in LA around all of the film. And like they're like, I live off of being an actor, and in LA, like I couldn't get a single role. And it's like, well, does it not like mean the quality of you being an actor, or is it just like the sheer like supply and demand? There's just too many fucking people out there, and you've got to like, you know, like shoot off a flare gun inside somebody's audition like to get noticed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
In that town where everyone's going to get noticed, it's like, all right.
Yeah, it's. I have no desire to like rush into like a scenario like that. But yeah, I mean, I would love to like, you know, spend some time in New York, but I don't think I'm the kind of person that would live there forever or LA. Like, I don't like LA. New York's cool. It's pretty. I like winter.
Mm-hmm. Man, it would be nice. Winter. Yeah, it would be nice to get some more winter. I feel like when I first moved here, you know, that sort of the trope about LA when you're like, oh, everyone's an out of work actor. Everyone's like a screenwriter, you know, not out of work, but like a spy, you know, like
yeah.
A guy at Starbucks has got like five screenplays or like a headshot
right.
Tucked in his apron. I feel like Austin used to be the case where, like, everyone was in a band.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of just get the feeling that everyone's like, oh, what do you do when you're not a waiter? Oh, I'm a guy who gets high a lot. Like, I feel like that's just what, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's, like, music's fault. I feel like because Austin as a town is kind of like, hey, live music scene, thanks for being so cool all these years. Fuck off so we can make some condos.
Yeah, I definitely think Austin is in this, like, post-ambition era
mm-hmm.
where everyone who is in a band, like in that sort of like, oh, I'm a waiter, but I'm also in a band, is just doing it to fuck around on the side. There's like, I don't even want to get signed or make a record. I'm just doing it to get out of the house.
Which is fine.
Like, oh, totally. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
I think that's, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people say things about Austin. I hate that this is becoming like a, ooh, why is Austin not suck thing? But
well, we should make a BuzzFeed listicle.
I know. That's my listicle. I feel like a lot of people say it's easy.
God damn it.
It's really easy to become stagnant or become lazy in a town like Austin. But yeah. I feel like that has nothing to do with the town as much as it does with the individual. Like, if you're not working or not pushing yourself forward in the thing that you say you want to do, that's on you. It's not about where you live. Like, you can find work and you can find bookings and you can create your own opportunities. If you're not doing it, that's not like it. Like, you can afford to live here. You can afford to, like, put shit together here. That's what I like about it. Like, if I wanted to make a web series or make a short film, I can figure it out here.
Yeah. Somebody I was talking to, a friend of the show, Carrie Lindo, and she was talking about, like, you know, I was like, oh, she's got a finger in a lot of pies. And I was like, oh, do you have any, you know, desire to split town? And she was like, well, before I go, I'd like to try and make a feature. And it's like, man, you could definitely do that for a lot cheaper than you could in, like, New York or L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Because and it's kind of a – it's the state of the Austin, like, movie industry or film industry where, like, people aren't necessarily used to getting paid for working on stuff or whatever. It's both good and bad, but – I just burped. You know, you could probably, you know, make a decent film or whatever. As we've lamented in the past, though, I feel like the current Austin ambassadors – to the larger world right now are pretty terrible.
Yeah,
Who are they?
I'd say Lance Armstrong.
Not anymore.
Well, I think when
until someone knocks him off until someone else replaces him, I think we're kind of. I mean, like Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, he's been doing good.
He's on the uptick.
His recent movies are pretty great.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. Mud. Did you see Mud?
I haven't seen it yet, but here it's amazing.
Mud is amazing. But
I loved him in Killer Joe.
I loved him in Bernie.
And he was great in Magic Mike. Oh, BTW.
Yes.
Well, sorry, you were going to say something.
What I would say is that I feel like he's definitely on the uptick now, and God bless him, good for him. But I think now he's at this point where you don't quite associate him with Austin as much as you did during the Wooderson phase.
Like, uh-huh.
So I think maybe it's not – he's not as the – like. Patron saint of Austin.
Well, he can't get rid of that drawl, so I think it's still like he's Texas or whatever. But Robert Rodriguez is another person.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Like we don't need that guy holding up the Austin banner. I mean, Richard Linklater, sort of, but I mean, like, man, if the director dude, if that's our number one.
Oh no, but what's his face? I don't know why I'm blanking on it. Tree of Life.
Terrence Malick.
And people really give shit about it, like, he just makes these jerk-off art pieces. But whatever, they're beautiful. Like, that's, like, some serious, like...
Is he Austin's own Terrence Malick? But can we claim him now?
But then he's lived in Austin forever.
But then I'd also say, I'd go back to that McConaughey point. Like, I feel like he's so much of a recluse that I don't feel like he identifies with Austin. Like, I kind of want someone who is out there doing stuff and is also, like, repping Austin.
Like a Manson?
Charles Manson?
Yeah, like a Charles Manson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, he's a good singer, but he throws it all away to, like, kill people.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Now like, you're
Charles
getting
Manson
it.
Was a good singer?
Have you never heard his stuff with the Beach Boys?
Gee, I wonder why I haven't.
It's out. It's released.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
He wrote something for GNR, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we'll screw that guy.
And he also tried to start a race riot. I don't know if you knew that part of part of his wiki.
I'm a huge fan of his. Oh, wait, did I say huge fan? I mean, he can die. Speaking of Magic Mike.
Yes.
I was watching that movie.
Real fast, I like that Alan Moore and Charles Manson are on like the same plateau for you.
They both are.
You'd be surprised who's in the lead.
I don't want Alan Moore to die.
Yeah, I mean, it's real close.
Nah, like, Alan Moore can live, and I've definitely...
Like, what if Alan Moore and Charles Manson were about to get hit, like... by a bus, which one you only had time to push one out of the way, Cruel Intention style.
I'd take Alan Moore out for breakfast or whatever. I mean, just because that guy's a prick doesn't mean he hasn't made amazing stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, Charles Manson, I'd push in front of the car. And then I'd be like, I'm a bad little boy. And then they'd be like, boys will be boys, not guilty.
You made two boy references?
That's my desire to murder.
Okay, Magic, yes, Magic Mike.
Which was great.
Michael, did you see Magic Mike?
I did.
Okay.
Of course I did.
Here's the thing about Magic
Mike. I'm sorry. I feel like if anyone says they would... Real fast. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. If anyone says that they wouldn't fuck Channing Tatum, like, it was just there, and it was just sort of like, hey, yeah. I don't believe them. Like,
well, here's something that's going to kind of blow your mind. If I were to be put in that scenario, I'm more of an Alex Pettifer kind of guy.
Oh, skinny.
Yeah.
Wait, was that the newbie?
Yeah.
He's itty-bitty.
Not Joe Mangiola? Or a Big Sexy Kevin Nash?
No, not Big Sexy Kevin
Nash. Big Sexy Kevin Nash!
No, I like one of those like weird mutant Bryce Harper kind of guys.
I feel like I'd want a guy like, you know, that I could look up to. And so I feel like
physically?
Yeah, like yeah, you're no, really tall.
Taller than me. So oh, okay. I like a big, sexy Kevin Nash. But oh, so in the beginning of Magic Mike.
Yes.
Olivia Munn is topless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the newsroom's Olivia Munn.
Yeah, and I'm not like some huge Olivia Munn fan.
She's pretty.
But here's the thing. I feel like, though, that there's enough buzz around her.
Yeah.
And I hang out with enough bros that people would have been like, hey, bro, Olivia Munn. Oh, my God, topless and Magic Mike or something like that. And so I was watching it, and I was like, whoa, how come I didn't hear about this? How come no bros told me about the scene in Magic Mike? Okay. That's why.
I would have told you. I didn't realize that was... I didn't realize we were still talking about that sort of thing. I mean,
once again, I'm not
Rosario Dawson is full frontal in trance.
But that would involve seeing Trance, which I unfortunately did.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Trance was a hot goddamn mess.
There's that also that weird...
You didn't think so?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but we were just talking the other day about Danny Boyle. And,
I was super excited about it.
Yeah. I like how hot I just mess. Acted surprised about this, but we just talked about this the other night, about Trance.
Oh.
Like you and I did. And I'm like, why am I even remembering this?
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I love Danny Boyle. Oh. And I like that cast, too. What's that guy with the sex face?
James McAvoy? Oh, no. Fucking
Vince Cassell.
The sex face?
Man, yeah, Vince Cassell's got a sex
face. Dude, this guy with
like
Vincent
a sexy
Cassell.
Face?
No.
He just, he looks like he's like made out of seduction. Like, if there's guys like Bill Simmons, a sports writer, was like.
Who also has a sex face?
I don't know about that. But he was talking back in the day, like, he said, like Nick Lachey. And like Matthew McConaughey or Nick Lachey and who's the USC quarterback that was good for a half a second?
Matt Leinart.
Yeah. They were bros. And he's like, man, imagine this is like a sports article, keep in mind.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Nick Lachey and Matt Leinart are hanging out like as a tag team. Imagine how much tail they pulled down. Like if I was at a party with my girlfriend, they walked in, I'd leave. And it's like, oh, great. Thanks for the sports
analysis,
Bill Simmons. But at the same time, I feel like if I was in a room and like Vincent Cassell walked in, I would be like, "Hey, a minute, we gotta go. let's get out of here." I don't know. He'll look at you and he'll snatch you away from me.
Yeah.
He'll be like Parks and Rec. Ron's gonna roll her up in a mustache, take her home.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of times the dudes that are supposed to be like hyper sexy like that are very dried up looking. Like they look like they haven't like had enough water in a long time. Like they're just very like everything is very taut and weird and.
He definitely has unconventionally handsome, but he looks like a guy that if he murdered me, he would probably think it's funny and they would drink wine over my corpse. Go ahead, David.
But it's also that it's that concession I'll give that like I don't understand what women find attractive in men in that like he's got that face that I know women will be like, oh, my God, Vincent Cassell. Well, the same thing with like Benicio del Toro or something like that.
Yeah, he looks like a date or a prune.
Yes,
like he looks like a dried fruit that's good for you.
Yeah.
Like
that should be his pickup line.
But it's one of those things where, as our hero Tom Sharpling would talk about, like people are like, oh, Reese Witherspoon's so gross. Reese Witherspoon's gorgeous.
She's lovely.
Yeah, and then it's like, what's his? Oh, people are like Philip Seymour Hoffman's so hot, and it's like. Yeah, but if a lady had that same, like, you know, like it's such a
if a lady looked like Philip Seymour Hoffman,
yeah, it's such a shitty double standard when it comes to Hollywood.
Yeah, I find Paul Giamatti so sexy. It's like, no.
Someone has said that where no one's like, oh my God, Kathy Bates, you know. I've seen it about Schmidt.
I think I have a weird one. I think Tilda Swinton is beautiful like a piece of art, but I'm not like sexy. Like I think that like if she was a statue, I'd be like, oh my God, good job. But as a person, it's not sexy.
Yeah, I feel like she's like a proto-punk Cate Blanchett. And it's like, I like Cate Blanchett better. Like, she's not as extreme.
But I kind of like the extreme. She's sort of like a pile of glass decided to be a person. Like, it's all jagged edges and like... I don't know. I like.
It. Yeah, she's.
That's my hyperbole.
She's the corpse bride.
I've heard two different stand-ups on stage recently compare, like, oh, do you know who Tom York is? He's like a male Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, you know who Tilda Swinton is? Like a male Tom York. I don't see it.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Hey, did you crib my bits? Don't you crib my bits?
No, I think the number one dude for me currently as an adult is if we're talking about celebrity.
Let's go through the Michael Folk power ranking.
Just
power ranking.
Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah,
Hardy.
Tom Hardy as, but especially as Bane because I'm a creep. just Bane or Bronson.
I was about to say. So if you had to rank the Hardys, if you had to go Bane, Bronson, or in
Star Trek Nemesis.
Yes, exactly. I was going to throw that one in there as a wild card.
I got to rewatch Star Trek Nemesis.
No, you don't.
He was like the other Picard.
I don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
No, if you were to go Inception like catalog model.
Oh wait,
Tom
no,
Hardy.
I did never see that. Sorry, go ahead.
Tom Hardy is real sexy in Inception, but I like the I'm a fuck up. I like the weird craziness of like Bronson and Bane.
Yeah.
I would probably go for Bane as number 1 just based off of the fact that he's Bane.
Okay.
Your punishment must be more severe.
I'm from the darkness or something.
Spirits on the China. Wait, what are you?
He's trying to do Bane.
Right. Leon Redbane?
Leon Redbane.
I'm still trying to make that work.
The first time I saw Tom Hardy, it was in, unfortunately, that movie, Rock and Rolla.
Yes.
And he played like
handsome, gay in that. Yeah.
Handsome Guy Bob or something like that. And then the next time I saw him was in Inception, and it was after Bronson. And because like between... I guess he super beefed up for Bronson and
just
kept it on or whatever.
Yeah. He goes back and forth, yeah. I don't need to know that. There's no reason for me to know that.
He's under 30. He can pull that off.
He's like Chris Bale.
Yeah, Chris Bale.
Chris Bale.
That's if you want to sound like a dipshit, just make up nicknames for celebrities.
Yeah.
I was talking to Laura Lynn. I'm sorry, Laura Linney is what you probably know her as. Because if you want to be cool, brag about meeting Laura Linney.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching.
I think Laura Linney is charming.
Laura Linney is great.
Oh yeah,
she's like a palatable Helen Hunt. Much more palatable. I feel like
there's certain actors and actresses that if they're in a movie. I feel like it's a stamp of quality. Mm. Or at the very least, I know I at least enjoy watching them. Like, they're never boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember as a kid reading a Roger Ebert review of John Carpenter's Vampires.
Yes.
And he was like, he started the article, he's like, God damn it. When has James Woods never not been electric?
James Woods is pretty great.
He is.
There's certain people that I can, like, watch all day. Like, I feel like Julianne Moore is always going to be great. Mm-hmm. I think she does.
Yeah.
She's pretty solid.
And then you get tricked into watching Next with Nicolas Cage, and you're like, damn you, Julianne Moore, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But Clive Owen is another guy I'll watch Clive Owen do stuff.
And hey, what's he doing here?
How's this come to?
God damn it. One line.
Sweeter than me, or whatever it is. Fuck. If I'm going to quote a movie, I should fucking quote
it.
Yeah.
I like your Clive Owen, though. It's very kept within your mouth.
It's David's Clive
Owen. It's very milk voice. It's, did you taste this cork? I can't say it. I choked on my own words on that.
These
one.
Are lines from the movie Closer, by the way. Yeah. Which, if you ever want to.
Like yours, but only sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like yours, but only sweeter.
Yeah, that sounds like Bane now.
A little bit.
Dude, I don't fucking know.
Your cum.
They're all British.
Your cum must be sweeter.
Do you think your cum is in control?
Does your cum feel in control?
This has gone off the rails.
Parental advisory, explicit content.
Did it go off the rails?
No, we're fine.
Hey, we should start wrapping up, though. Michael Folk, do you have any gigs or anything coming up?
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug? Where can people find out more about you?
I don't have a website. Every Wednesday in Austin this month, I'm going to be doing a Hand Bomb, my sketch and improv group at the New Movement 930s. It's free every Wednesday in August. And the next Queer Mountain show is on September 19th. It's all LGBT storytelling and music. Our theme is adult. Faggot spaceships on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Folk. At ZZZ Omtron on Twitter because I don't want anyone to follow
just
me.
Just people can Google you.
Yeah, Google it.
One thing real quick about Faggot Spaceship, that's your podcast. Is that available on iTunes or where would they find
it? It's not currently available on iTunes. It's on SoundCloud right now.
Okay. Get on it.
I get real fussy with RSS feeds. I don't know what I'm doing at all. You guys just made really funny faces about that. I don't know how to do them.
Oh, I give it to him. He handles all the podcast stuff.
I downloaded a WordPress plugin that did it. Merry Christmas. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, Michael Folk, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show.
Yes.
Yay. Thanks for letting me come on into the Hodge Pound.
Hodge Pound. David, anything to add?
We're still, Stat Comedy's still doing Sure Thing every Saturday in August, including one for Out of Bounds at the end of August. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk to us, we're on, email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at mascotwedding. We're on Facebook /mascotwedding.
Leave a review for us on iTunes and we will thank you on a podcast. Guys, goodbye, Michael.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye. Mac. Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Mac.
Macintosh.
Goodbye, world.